There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes it whole.
Good morning and welcome to this episode of Step Into the Light. I'm your host, Patty Sheen. Thank you for listening. On this show, we introduce listeners to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light, and those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light. My guest today, Tracy Crump, is an author, editor, and speaker. A former ICU nurse, Tracy dispenses hope in her new 30-day devotional, Health, Healing, and Wholeness, Devotions of Hope in the Midst of Illness. According to one endorser, this devotional tugs at the heart and inspires hope in the God who can heal body and soul. Although a late bloomer as a writer, her work has appeared in diverse publications, including Guidepost Books, Woman's World, Focus on the Family, Parent Life, Ideals, and Upper Room. Tracy is best known for contributing 30 stories to Chicken Soup for the Soul and other anthologies. Her courses on writing for Chicken Soup is one of Sirius Writer Academy's top sellers. As coordinator of Write Life Workshops, she conducts workshops, teaches at conferences across the country, and edits the Write Life newsletter. Tracy also proofreads for Farmer's Almanac and is a freelance editor. Good morning, Tracy, and welcome to Step Into the Light.
Good morning, Patty. I'm so delighted to be here.
Well, it's such a joy to have you here, Tracy. I read your book, and I'm so excited to talk to you because you have such an inspiring message to share. So tell us, you were an intensive care nurse for many years. What childhood influences led you to pursue that particular profession?
Well, Patty, I practically grew up around the hospital. My dad was a medical photographer at a large metropolitan hospital, and I visited his lab often and got to talk to some doctors there. And they kind of nurtured. My parents found out that I was interested in becoming a nurse, and they nurtured that. They arranged for me to actually get to go and stay in the dorm at the nursing school overnight and tour the school and learn about what they did. And so by the age of 10, I knew I wanted to be a nurse, and that's what I did. I went to nursing school, and then I worked 5 years in intensive care, and it was wonderful. I loved it. It was kind of my dream come true at the time.
Well, that's amazing, Tracy. And you and I, when it comes to the medical profession, we're kind of kissing cousins, because I also am an RN, but my field of practice was psychiatry. So we're just about as opposite on the spectrum as we can get. And to think of an ICU nurse, oh my goodness, that takes a lot of dedication and a lot of skill. So congratulations, and thank you for serving in that way, Tracy.
Thank you. Well, it sure keeps you on your toes. There's something different every day, that's for sure.
Isn't that the truth? Well, you have a long list of writing credits, and you did mention it, that you kind of were a late bloomer as a writer. What motivated you to begin a writing career?
Well, after I kind of retired from nursing, when I became pregnant with our first child, I became a stay-at-home mom, which was what I had always wanted to do. I love nursing. It was a wonderful career, but I felt like being a stay-at-home mom was what I was meant to be. And God was gracious and went along with my plans for a while. And then he convinced me that he wanted me to homeschool our children, which is something I never planned to do. So we went through those years and homeschooled. Both our sons graduated from homeschool, went on to college and their own lives. And so after we became empty nesters, or actually close to that time, God just kind of put on my heart that he wanted me to write about some family issues. And that was something I, just like homeschooling, something I never planned to do. I tell you the truth, I hated writing when I was in school, so it was never on my radar. But you know, when God instructs you to do something, you're pretty wise if you go ahead and do it. But so I had actually started writing, and I attended a writer's conference. And there I met some editors who were interested in what I had to say. And so I published a couple of articles in national magazines. And then later, a little while after that, I joined a writer's group. I didn't plan to keep on writing, but, you know, it looked like, well, this is what God wanted me to do. So I was going to go along with it, just like he went along with my plans earlier. And so I joined this group headed up by a lady named Mary Lane Wade Koch. And Mary Lane had also been a nurse, and she emailed me one day, and she said, Chicken Soup for the Soul is doing a second book for the nurse's soul. She said, why don't you try submitting something? And I thought, well, you know, it was actually about that time, it had been so long since I'd worked as a nurse. And I thought, besides, you're not going to publish anything I write anyway. I'm just a newbie, a beginner. But so I just kind of let the deadline pass. And a few days later, Mary Lane emailed me again. She said, Chicken Soup for the Soul has extended the deadline for the Nurse's Soul book. She said, why don't you try submitting something? And so I thought, well, you know, I thought of one story, and then I thought of another, and I ended up submitting 5 stories to that book, and they chose 2 to publish. So that's how I got started writing in Chicken Soup for the Soul, and things just kind of blossomed from there. I started publishing devotions after that, and just a number of things, but I pretty much stuck with the short pieces, the short stories and the articles. I published a number of articles and devotions. And that was my comfort zone. I enjoyed doing that. I kind of like finishing something and moving on to something else. I did that for about 14, 15 years. And then I attended a conference where I met an agent, and I talked to him about a couple of novel ideas we've kind of been playing around with. And he said, well, you know, that's okay. But he said, you know, you've published a lot of devotions. He said, why don't you write a devotional book? And I thought, well, I could do that. And, you know, one devotion at a time. It's not like you're facing a whole big book when you write one at a time. Sure. So that's where the idea came. And I just kind of circle back. It's kind of like everything came full circle from my nursing career to the first Chicken Soup for the Soul stories, and then back to writing about nursing in this book. So that's how it all came about.
Well, when you talk about getting the message that the deadline had been extended on that story that you hadn't submitted, don't you just love it when God kind of points the way to you and there is absolutely no doubt that this is what he wants you to do?
Yeah, as long as you read that writing on the wall, you're okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. Have you been to Marlene's conferences? I think you have, haven't you?
I haven't. No, I never have.
She's the director of 2 writers' conferences in the country, 1 in Colorado, 1 in Philadelphia. And she's been doing it for like 30-some years now. Mm-hmm. And she says, when I was young, I always used to say, a loving God would never make me get up and talk in front of people. And of course, that's all she does now, you know, that and many other things. So, yes, I did read your book, Health, Healing, and Wholeness.
Thank you
so much for writing it, because you tell so many wonderful stories in there. It's obvious that during your nursing career, you experienced miraculous moments.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you also experienced some difficult moments, you saw a lot of heartache as well. So in what ways did these occurrences affect your faith?
Of course, the miraculous moments, the book opens with a story about a baby, an 18-month-old baby who was hit by a car. And when they brought her to the hospital, she basically appeared brain dead. They rushed her to surgery where they tried to relieve the pressure on her brain. But I remember one resident saying, half her brain is just oatmeal. She'll never walk or talk again.
Oh.
And she, you know, it was touch and go for a long time. She went on a ventilator, came off, then went back on the ventilator. It didn't look good. But eventually she got well enough that she moved to a room on the regular floor. And a lot of times when patients leave ICU, we don't hear anything else about them. We don't know what the outcome was. But I once again, a God moment, nurse had came down to ICU, and she said that the baby had, that morning, they were fixing to release her to go home. She had saying Wawa for water and Mama, and she walked to her mother. So that baby that they said would never walk or talk again did. God had other plans.
Wow.
And I know the doctors, yeah. And, you know, doctors are wonderful, but they don't know everything. They can't predict the outcome in every situation. And I think they're often just as thrilled as we are when they're wrong.
And oh, absolutely.
In this case.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when you ask about what, and of course, moments like that boost your faith. I mean, when it's no doubt that God had other plans and that he had his hand all over this child and he affected the, he controlled the outcome. And that, you know, that's a faith booster there. But I tell you, Patty, when you ask that question, I think a couple of other cases really come to mind. And I guess you would call them kind of more negative cases. But and neither of these is in the book. And but if we have time, I want to tell you these two stories.
Please do. Yes, we have plenty of time, Tracy.
Okay. Well, one was fairly early in my career when I worked in ICU. I came in one night. I worked nights. Came in, and the 3-11 nurse gave me a report, and she, one of the patients was a 25-year-old woman who was pregnant, and she said she had come in with asthma, really severe asthma attack, and we called it unremitting asthma attack. She had been actually, she had asthma so severe that she had been told or advised not to become pregnant, that it would be such a strain on her body it would have, yeah. And so by 5 months, the baby, of course, was getting bigger and it had affected her. So she had this terrible asthma attack. They could not get it under control. Gave her all kinds of medications, of course, did all kinds of x-rays. And finally, they had to put her on a ventilator and basically paralyze her, sedate her and paralyze her so that her she wouldn't fight the ventilator and her lungs could open up. Well, she'd been that way for a while on the ventilator. And, of course, she was alive, but she was not getting any better. So the doctors had told her husband that she will not survive if they didn't abort the baby.
Oh,
well,
my goodness.
Yes. And so that afternoon, they had started a drip on her to start contractions to abort the child. And this was not something I ever thought I would face in ICU. I never thought I would. And mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you, Patty, I was a Christian, but I was not walking that closely with the Lord. I was very young, which is really no excuse. And I had never been, I was not raised in a Christian home, which is also not an excuse, but I had never really, really, I guess, thought through the issue of abortion. And here I was facing it. And so the 3-11 nurse said, I called down to labor and delivery and asked them if they could come up and bring a Doppler to listen and see if they could hear a heartbeat. She said, I don't know if the baby's still alive or not. And so after she left, a little while later, the labor and delivery nurse came up, and she said, well, let's see if we can hear anything. And so I stood on one side of the bed. She stood on the other. I'm going to try to get through this without crying. And she you know, ran all over her tummy, and she said, oh, I'm not really hearing anything. And she was about to say, I think the baby's gone. And all of a sudden we heard whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And it was a fetal heartbeat.
Oh,
and I thought, oh, gosh. And so, you know, when you start thinking, what are you going to do when this baby mm-hmm. is aborted, you know? And so anyway, fortunately, God once again had his hand on me. And a little while later, the resident, the OBGYN resident called and said, just turn off the drip. He said, I don't want to be disturbed tonight. I haven't gotten any sleep all day, all night. And he said, I just don't want to be disturbed. So turn off the drip. And I said, oh, thank you, Lord.
Yes,
I am not going to have to face this. I tell you what, though, I came out of that hospital the next morning, a different person than when I went in, with a different perspective. I did write about this in a couple of articles that I published. It was called A New Perspective. And it was my new perspective on abortion. That was one incident that greatly affected my faith. And another was a young man. He was a burn patient. And I'll tell you right now, those were the hardest patients for me to work with. Not just because, you know, you have to mask and gown and have to be so careful in infection. And, you know, they have terrible fluid shifts because they lose so much fluid through the burns. And and, you know, so much medically that goes on with them. But also, there is so much pain. And if you're a nurse, you know, you are a compassionate person. And
yes.
you can't stand to see someone in pain that you cannot relieve. You know, I mean, I saw people in pain all the time. But when even the slightest touch produced excruciating pain, it was very hard on me and on any nurse. But anyway, this patient was different. He and he had severe burns, was a young man, very healthy, robust guy. And his faith was evident. And he was determined he was going to not only survive, but he was going to thrive, that he was going to get back to his former self. And he had a lot of burns, but they thought he had a good chance. And, of course, he knew what he had already been told what was going to face him. He was going to have to do physical therapy. It was going to be hard. I don't want to get too graphic, but it's you know, when you've got burns, just moving and that skin tightens, it's a hard road to go. But he was determined. He was determined. He was upbeat. I enjoyed working with him. But then one night, he suddenly took a turn for the worse. And he developed symptoms of cerebral edema, which is not totally unheard of when you have these great fluid shifts in your body. And he finally arrested, and we were not able to bring him back. And I thought, Lord, what is going on here? You know, this man believed in you. He trusted you. He was determined. He was going to do everything he could to work to get back to life, you know, to serve you. Why did you do this? And it's like God just told me, you know, I healed him. You don't have to stay in this world to be healed. So kind of part of what I say about my book is, you know, we won't always find healing in this life, but God will always provide healing. He took him home, and that was a faith growth for me to see that, because it was hard. It was hard. And I saw a lot of people die. You know, a lot of people did. Some were ready to go. Some were not. But he just seemed so full of life. It was a hard thing to face, but it was an experience I needed to have.
Wow, that's very powerful, Tracy. And thank you for sharing that with us, both of your stories, because obviously they are both very, very emotional, and they still affect you very deeply. So thank you for sharing that with me and with our listeners. I appreciate that a great deal. Mm-hmm. And I can understand what you're saying. We question when we're in situations like that. We question what is the Lord's motivation here? And, well, where is it? It says, you know, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah.
And he's sovereign. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is. Yes, mm-hmm. he is. Mm-hmm. Well, Tracy, many of our guests here on Step Into the Light do share a difficult time, and you've definitely already shared a couple of them with us, and how they found their way out of that dark period. Have you, I'm on a more personal level, maybe with family or whatever, which might even be more difficult to deal with because you already know some of the outcomes being in the nursing profession. So is there a time that was particularly hard for you that really tested your faith and that you came out of it, out of a dark place and back to light?
Well, yes, actually several times. I always say once a nurse, always a nurse. So, mm-hmm. When my parents started having problems, health problems, I was the primary caregiver for them. And my mom, she was sick for 3 years. Had a little-known condition called normal pressure hydrocephalus. She was at first mistakenly diagnosed with Alzheimer's, but we found out later that she had a treatable condition, this treatable condition called normal pressure hydrocephalus. And once we discovered that, she had a shunt inserted, which caused her to have a miraculous turnaround, really. She went from being almost nonverbal, not walking, and no memory at all to not quite back. I wouldn't say quite back to normal, but as close as we could get. And she never really resumed being mobile like she had been, but she did, you know, was able to converse. She kind of, you know, got back to her old self. But and I did write about that in the book too, about that turnaround. And but anyway, she lived for 3 years after that, and during the end of her life, my dad became ill. He'd never been in good health, but he became ill. The day after, he actually was in the hospital, back and forth between the hospital and rehab for 3 months before she passed away. And the day after her funeral, he came back home on dialysis 3 days a week, wound care, oxygen. He was not very mobile at that time. And it was just hard. So I could not grieve my mom because I had to jump right back into caregiving for him. Mm-hmm. And that was a very, very difficult time. He lived 3 months, 3 years after that, did actually come off dialysis, which was another miraculous thing. But that was all a very hard time for me, just because I couldn't grieve because I was so busy caregiving. I feel for caregivers. In fact, that might be my next book because I know a lot of people are going through this now. And it is very difficult. But God has a way of smoothing things over and making things better. We will never, like you say, we go through those dark periods, but he's not going to leave us there. However, a couple of years after my dad passed away, my mother-in-law, who was at the time was 96 years old, began having some health problems. And so at that time, we ended up moving her in with us. And she had lived here with us for about 4 years, did amazingly well for her age. She was on a walker, but she, you know, took care of herself in many ways. And so it was a good situation. In April, this year she turned 100.
Oh, and, wow. Well, that is so amazing.
Yeah, it was. And of course, with COVID and everything, we weren't able to have a big, big birthday bash like we wanted to, but it was nice. She had some, you know, we did some patio visits and things like that, and everybody made over her. But then 12 days later, she had a heart attack. Yeah. And she was only in the hospital for 2 days, but we brought her home, and she kept declining. She was getting weaker and weaker. And so within a week, we had to put her, the cardiologist said, there's really nothing more I can do for her. We can't do surgery on her. She's 100 years old. There's just nothing more we can do. And so we ended up putting her on hospice. So I honestly, Patty, did not think she would last a week after that. She was getting so weak, but she lasted three and a half more months.
Wow.
And she would say things, and each day it seemed like something new would crop up, and she would get weaker and something else would happen. But she would kept saying, please pray that I will complete my mission. And we're going, what mission? You know, you're 100 years old. What is it you feel like you haven't done? What do you have left to do? And so, but I will tell you what, every person that walked into her room heard about Jesus. Every hospice worker, and we didn't have a lot of visitors just because of COVID, but every relative, our son and his family would come and visit often. But everybody that walked in there, they would hear about Jesus. In fact, the hospice chaplain, she would witness to him all the time. He would come and he would sing to her. He had a beautiful voice. And he, at her funeral, he sang. But before he did, he talked about her, and he said, you know, I would go there thinking I was ministering to her, but she ended up ministering to me. So she was completing her mission. And I've always said, if there's life, if there's breath, there's life, and you still have something that God has you here for. There's a reason for God to have you here, and she was completing her mission.
That is so true, Tracy, and isn't it amazing how God does sometimes use us right up until our very last day, and there's no such thing as it being too late to serve him.
You're absolutely
right. That. Thank you so much for sharing all that with us. Wow, that is just really inspiring and amazing.
And let me say this too, Patty, you know, during all that time, I will admit we were exhausted. It was a long 3 months, and not that we wanted to let her go, but we knew it was her time. And we, you know, but it was exhausting taking care of. People think because I'm a nurse that, you know, oh, well, you know what to do, so it's no problem for you. But, you know, when you're in nursing, you go to work and you work 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, whatever, and you come home and you can kind of let it go. Plus, you can get your sleep at night. We were getting up with her. It was like kind of like having a baby in the house again. We'd get up with her at night. We had hand feed her, do all the things that she couldn't do for herself. And we're not 20 somethings anymore. It was really exhausting for us. But being a nurse, it did help in that I could understand the lingo. You know, I knew I could converse with the hospice nurse easily, and I knew a lot of things to do and a lot of comfort measures, which was good. Although they were invaluable in helping us there, but it's not easy taking care of someone you love like it is. And not that it's easy working at a hospital, but you, even though you're caring and you want to help them, you don't know them. You don't really know your patients like you do your own family members. So it was very hard for us, and it was a long, exhausting 3 months, 3.5 months. As I say, not that we wanted to let her go, but we were glad when she finally stepped into Jesus' arms, because we knew that's where she wanted to be.
That it was time. Yeah, and I can certainly identify with that. You develop an emotional tie with your patients to a degree, but it is not on the same level or the same intensity as it is with family members. So yeah, it is. It's very, very challenging. And God bless you for being able to do that for your mother-in-law, Tracy.
Well, we were glad, especially during this COVID time. You know, we were glad that she was here with us and we didn't have to worry about, you know, is she going to be exposed to COVID? Although, you know, we still had the hospice people coming in, but right. We were so glad to be able to do that. And, you know, and I'm sure you know this too, after they're gone, when you've been involved in that intense caregiving, once they're gone, it's like, you know, what do I do now? And we would find ourselves walking down the hall to check on her over and over again, because it was like she was still there. It becomes a part of you. It really does. It takes a while to let go of that.
Yes, it sure does. It sure does. I hear exactly what you're saying. We'll take a short break here where I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with your host, Patty Sheen. My guest today is author Tracy Crump. Tracy has a extensive history of writing, especially short articles. She has written many, many stories for Chicken Soup for the Soul. She has also recently published a book titled Health, Healing, and Wholeness, Devotions of Hope in the Midst of Illness. Tracy has a background as an ICU nurse, so she has incorporated much of her experiences in that realm into this book. If you'd like to listen to this show again or refer it to friends and family, which we certainly hope you will do, you can go to my website, which is PattySheen.com. That is spelled PattySheen.com. There's where you will find on the homepage this particular show. 3 or 4 shows are available right on that homepage. But if you go to the Blog Talk Radio tab, there you will find links to all of our shows that we have recorded to date. And under each show is a more information tab, and that's where you will find Tracy's website and any other websites or references that may be made during today's show. Let's get back to our interview. Tracy, you made reference to your book, Health, Healing, and Wholeness, earlier in the show. You gave us examples of some of the devotionals that you had written for that book. I read Health, Healing, and Wholeness, and I found it to be most engaging and inspiring. So tell us a little bit more about it.
Of course, it is based on many of my nursing experiences as well as caregiving experiences. But it's a variety of experiences. A lot of times when I started looking at devotional books, other devotional books out there, I couldn't really find any that covered a variety of health issues. Now, you can find them on staying healthy, exercise and eating right and that sort of thing. Usually it would be a specific disease like cancer, which, you know, that's wonderful that people who have been through something like that can help other people navigate that kind of thing. But cancer is not the only devastating diagnosis you can receive. There are a lot of things that can take your life or affect your life gravely. So I wanted to cover just a variety of issues, of health issues, things that I had observed or that other people that I knew had observed. One of the stories is about a young man in our church who years ago was in a terrible car accident, and the EMTs that arrived, when they arrived there, they thought he was dead. But he survived, but then the doctor said he would never wake up. Well, his mom was determined he would wake up. They both come to our church, and he is quite disabled, but I'm telling you, I have never seen a more joyous worshiper in my life. He claps during service, and we're not a real rowdy church, but he claps. We're kind of a, you know, traditional stage church, but anyway, he claps or he shouts out hallelujah. But I love to watch him. There's just joy written all over his face. He did suffer a great brain injury, but he is with us and he is worshiping and he shines Jesus' light to everyone around him. We just mm-hmm. love him. He used to love my mother-in-law. He would come over and hug her and talk to her, and she called him her hero, but he just loved her. We're all different. We all have our own abilities and our own disabilities in a way. And I just think that God can use each of us no matter what. Even like my mother-in-law, she was, 9,900 years old. And people might look at her and think she's so old, she can't do anything. And I hate it when people talk down to elderly people as if they're mm-hmm. not even there. It's sad because they have so much to share. And she was perfectly lucid. She was up to the very end. She was very with it. She'd be the first one to get a joke if you told the joke. She was kept up with the news. She would be the one telling us what was going on in the world because she was just on top of it. We all have something to share, and I think that's important for us to remember. We need to look past the age or disability or anything else. And so that's kind of what I wanted to convey in the book, where different diseases or different accidents or injuries, situations that can put us at a disadvantage in a way in life, but that we still have much, much, much that we can offer to the Lord and offer to other people. So that was part of what I wanted to do with my book. And actually, I'm hoping that some churches will decide to use it for hospital visitation or outreach or pastoral care. I just think, and especially in these days and times, that we need all the hope that we can get. I was so thrilled that the publisher decided to offer what he calls box sets. You have to order at least 25 books, but if you order 25 or more, you get a 40% discount and free shipping. And believe me, shipping is high, so that is a really good deal. So I'm hoping that maybe churches will, especially as things begin to open up. I know we've gone up and down with the COVID numbers, and a lot of places are not, still hospitals are not open to chaplains. A lot of them aren't, and visitation and that sort of thing. But I'm hoping at some point in time when things do open back up that some churches will decide to use this in their ministries, because I think it would be a good, it's always nice to get a gift, and I think it would be a good icebreaker and way to reach people, hopefully for Christ, because that's actually my main goal right there. And the very last devotion in it, I can't tell you about it because I do cry every time I talk about that particular story, but it does lay out the salvation in miniatures, the salvation plan. So I do hope that churches will come on board and decide to use that for those purposes.
Well, that would definitely be wonderful, Tracy. And it's great that your publisher is offering that deal because, not only is 40% off a really nice offer, but that shipping is getting more and more expensive all the time. Also, I wanted to mention for listeners that in each of Tracy's stories, prior to the little devotional, and after the devotional, she has a verse of scripture, and she also has a prayer at the end of each devotional. So that scripture reading at the beginning kind of sets the tone, I thought, for what is to come in that particular story, and then she seals that message with a final scripture. So I just thought I'd point that out, Tracy, that was one
Thank
of the features
you.
Of your devotional that I enjoyed.
Well, I did want to make them scripture rich, and sometimes in some of them I would even include other scriptures to kind of highlight what the takeaway that we were talking about. So I'm glad you like that, Patty. Thank you.
Yes, I did. Well, Tracy, health is very much on many of our minds with this pandemic still a threat. It's not over yet, I fear, by a long shot. Flu season is upon us, and there's always an increasing awareness of health risks and prevention. You're bombarded on the TV every day and on the radio with ads for different things and so such. So what advice would you give listeners to help facilitate optimum overall health based on your experiences?
Well, I know everybody's tired of hearing sing happy birthday, twice while you wash your hands and wear those masks, and all those things are invaluable. They really are. And plus the social distancing. It's just, we still have not started back to church. We are fortunate that we can listen to our church service online, but I feel like we have been isolated so long that we're probably ripe to catch anything right now. But I think what a lot of people forget about, although you probably could speak to this better than I could, is the mental part of it. The isolation's been hard. We stayed probably more isolated than a lot of people just because we did have a 99-year-old and 100-year-old at home here. But it does wear on you. It's hard to be isolated. I remember when my mom was still alive, and she was in the hospital one time for a solid month, and I stayed up there night and day with her. And even though, of course, I saw the nurses and the doctors and all the people there, it was still isolating for me to be there. And not that was a while back, and that's when I first learned to use text very well, mm-hmm. because I texted people all the time. Just that was kind of my lifeline then. But I think that not only the isolation, but just, and I actually have one of my devotionals in my devotional book addresses this. It's not specifically about COVID, even though I mentioned COVID. But, there have been many times that people have gone through periods of epidemics or different diseases and things coming through. And we tend to fear. We become fearful. So the title of that particular devotion is Panic or Peace. We can have peace even in the midst of these things, because it's all in God's control anyway. We do need to do everything we can to prevent infection, but if we stay fearful, I think fear lowers our resistance, because it wears, it's a stress on the body, and when we are fearful, then we're probably more likely to catch something. But also just the depression. I think a lot of people have developed depression. From being isolated and the fear, I'm sure, on top of it. We've lost a lot of people. I just started counting up not long ago, and just in the past couple of months, at the beginning of all this, I didn't know anybody that had COVID. But just in the past couple of months, we've lost several friends to COVID and to other things. It just seems like it's piling on. That just keeps people down. I know there was one young lady in our neighborhood who committed suicide recently. I don't think it had anything to do with COVID, but it's just, I don't know why that hit me so hard, because I had actually never met her. My husband she was on the street behind us, and he rides his bike all around. And so he had met her and talked to her several times, but it just hit me hard that, there's that despair. And it just bothers me when people get to the point where they think nothing's going to change and everything's going to be horrible all the rest of my life, and so I have no recourse but to escape this. It just really got to me. So I think really the mental aspect of it, I think getting out, not necessarily out in public if you're concerned about being infected, but getting out walking. We're fortunate that we have a beautiful neighborhood. We have two lakes here, and so we go walking around the lakes all the time. Like I said, my husband rides a bike, and different things. And so we try to be careful, but we also try to get out a little bit. And we see people along the way. We feel safe because we're outside, but we get to talk to people, you know, as sure. we walk. So that's, you know, that lifts your spirits, which boosts your endorphins and I think helps your immune system. So those are some things that some people probably don't really consider when they think about all this.
I'm 100% in agreement with you, Tracy, and I especially like what you pointed out about fear, because I agree. I think fear can absolutely paralyze a person mentally and emotionally, to where you get to the point where you're scared to death to walk out the front door for fear, you know, you might die in some random manner. I mean, you can really let your imagination run with you. I mean, I certainly believe that we need to take all of the precautions with COVID, but it's interesting, and I do not want to get into the whole political thing, but I would like to make this statement that right now, with all the disagreements between wearing masks and not wearing masks, get vaccinated, don't get vaccinated, do this, do that, do the other, how often do we hear reminders about those basic things? Wash your hands, use your disinfectants in your home. We're getting into flu season now. But I just would like to throw out to everybody to, in addition to what Tracy said, be sure and do those basic things, you know, the common sense stuff. Wash your hands before you go somewhere, when you get home. Watch your distancing. Well, Tracy, in addition to your extensive writing credits, goodness, I named, what, 5 or 6 different magazines at least that you have written for, and of course your Chicken Soup for the Soul stories. In addition to all of that, you also have a speaking ministry, so tell us about that.
Okay, mostly it is to writers. I have spoken at or conducted workshops at a lot of conferences. We also, that lady Mary Laneway Koch that I said first encouraged me to submit to Chicken Soup for the Soul, she and I started, I don't know if you'd really call it a business, but a ministry called Write Life Workshops. We started out with one little workshop at a local library. I think we had 9 attendees, but we decided that we wanted to, and it was about writing for Chicken Soup and Soul, we decided we wanted to offer that to more people. So we do in-person workshops. Mary Lane's not able to do it right now, so another friend of ours, Andy Lehman, and I will travel up to about 5 or 5.5 hours from Memphis. Of course, right now things have been kind of topsy-turvy with COVID, but we will travel and conduct. We do 4.5-hour workshops now. That first workshop, I think, was 1.5 hours, but we do them 4.5 hours.
Great.
People love it. We have a blast, and we do hands-on things and get them actually started on stories for Chicken Soup, for upcoming books. One lady at I think the last one that we did, she said, I didn't see how you were going to fill 4.5 hours. But she said, the time has gone like, you know, so fast. She said, I couldn't believe it. She said, and this was so good. I had a great time. So Andy is just, she's a fireball. She just makes it so much fun. And so we love to do those. I also, though, do have an online course. It's 1 hour long, and it's with Serious Writer Academy. It's, I think, seriouswriter.com is where you would find it. But that's a 1-hour course that a lot of people have found helpful. It's 10 modules about writing for Chicken Soup for the Soul. And a lot of people have really enjoyed that. I think it's been one of their top sellers. So I enjoyed putting that together. But as far as speaking, I'm like that. I think you said Marlene Bagnell said she didn't want to ever speak in front of public. She'd do anything, but she didn't want to speak in front of public. I was kind of that same way. I never thought I would do anything like that. As I said, I usually do. I have a variety of writing workshops I do, but I would love, and I did one time for our church, to do a program on the abortion story that I mentioned. When I did it for our church, I ended with that story about the abortion I almost had to participate in. So I would love to get into doing more of that kind of thing too, if the opportunity comes up. But I have found that I do enjoy doing workshops and things like that. I'm more of a teacher, I think, than an actual speaker, but it has been a lot of fun.
Well, good. Yeah, it sounds like you have a lot to offer. Like I say, you've got quite a few writing credits there. So you definitely know what you're talking about.
Or pretend to.
That's really great. And you also do editing services, Tracy, what do you offer along that line?
Well, I have edited, well, quite a variety of things. Mostly nonfiction. I've done quite a few Chicken Soup for the Soul stories. But I've also edited full-length books. One of them, I met this young woman at a Kentucky Christian Writers Conference. She's a lawyer, but she was kidnapped by a client who planned to rape and kill her. But God supernaturally intervened and rescued her, and so she wrote about it. And I edited her book. It's a whole long story. I mean, that is a whole other God story right there, how we even came together and found an agent and a publisher and the whole thing. Anyway, her book received a starred review from Publishers Weekly, which I understand that's a pretty rare thing.
Yeah.
That was one book that was very meaningful. Also, I've actually edited a couple of fiction books, and the authors were very pleased with that. So that's mostly what I've done, and it's just kind of by word of mouth, and you know, they come and go, and I've really enjoyed all of it. I also, this was kind of dropped in my lap too, that I am now and have been for about the last 3-4 years a proofreader for Farmer's Almanac, and they've been around a long time, and I proofread, you know, some of their articles and things, and that's been a lot of fun to do.
Wow, that would be neat.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since I've looked at a Farmer's Almanac, but yeah, I remember those little magazines.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they're still printing them, huh?
Right, yeah, I think they've over 200 years now they've been in publication.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing. Well, boy, it sure sounds like you've had a whole variety of different experiences, Tracy, with your writing, and you have definitely touched the hearts of probably more people than you will ever know in this life.
Oh. Well, I hope so. I hope that God is using me, as he used my mother-in-law.
Yes. Well, see, just having you to tell that story,
yeah.
The mission goes on, you know, and I'm sure she's smiling down at you and saying, see?
She was my biggest fan. She really was.
That is so neat. I'm curious, how old were you when you started writing? Because you said you were a late bloomer.
Yeah, I was 50. I think I was 50 when I published my first article.
Oh,
it was after the kids were grown. And, I sure was.
Well, Tracy, what would you say is next for you? I know you had mentioned in passing that you might want to write a devotional about caregiving, and I don't know if that idea was in your head before the show or if that kind of sprouted into mind at the time, but do you have definite plans for your future as a writer?
I actually have been thinking about the caregiver book. I'm thinking about asking another lady if she would co-write it with me, because she's done a lot of caregiving kind of in a different arena than I have. So that might be, you know, but I don't know if you've ever launched a book, but the marketing and all that is so different from just writing those short pieces. It's been a real learning curve, and it's kind of like having a baby. Right afterwards, you don't want to think about doing this again. So I'm not sure that this is going to happen, but I this is kind of in my plans, and I think I've kind of been wrestling with God about it a little bit. So y'all might pray for me on that, because I really think that is something he wants me to do. I just don't know if I'm ready quite yet. But I still enjoy the short writing. I've submitted a couple of Chicken Soup stories and you know, other things. I haven't written as many articles recently as I did at one time. Of course, the whole writing world has changed. You don't have as many print publications as you used to, so the market has changed. But I enjoy devotionals, and I've been writing quite a few for Guideposts. They're all God's creatures books about animals and things, and devotions about those. And so that's been a lot of fun. But I'm just going to see where God leads me next.
Well, that is neat, Tracy. And my goodness, you certainly have had a very fulfilling career to date, and I'm sure that God is not finished with you. So I would look forward to much more coming from you.
Well, thank you. I'm still breathing, so he's still got something for me to do.
There you go. That's exactly it. Well, we're about at the end of our time here. I really enjoyed spending time with you, Tracy. And like I say, I very much enjoyed your book. I am going to promote it in every way that I can. I think about the shows and it's like, okay, you know, let's try and promote some things that people may be interested in for Christmas coming up and the holidays. And of course, your book, I mean, can be used any time of the year, but it would be a wonderful gift book for somebody who's in the type of situation that you talked about as far as a caregiver or experiencing illness themselves or whatever.
Thank you. I really appreciate you having me here, Patty. It's been a lot of fun and I've enjoyed meeting you.
Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark periods in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today. I want to remind you to go to Tracy's website and you will find that on my website, which is Patty Sheen, PattiSheene.com. Under the Blog Talk Radio tab, you'll find a link to all the shows we have recorded to date. Under each show is a more information tab. That's where you will find her website and also the link to her Serious Writer Academy and her Write Life Workshop. Until next time, God bless you. Hope to have you with us next week.
There is a candle in every soul. Some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a